You're listening to the Health Smut Podcast. I'm Dottie Dynamo, sexy worker, burlesque dancer, and the stripper health coach at Fit Showgirl. The health, fitness, and adult entertainment industries are full of dirty diet culture, and I'm here to help you strip it all away so you can quit picking apart your body, dominate the weight room, and build a healthier hustle. Hello, my beautiful sexy friends. Just a warning, buckle up for this episode. We are getting into possibly some deep shit depending on where you're at with your body and your feelings around the work you do as a sex worker. We are discussing the emotional impacts of this work on your self-worth and how it can show up in all kinds of ways in this industry and may start to affect how you feel about yourself and your self-worth without you realizing that it is. I want to start this episode reading a few excerpts from Lola Divina's book, Thriving in Sex Work. And if you have not read this book, I highly, highly, highly cannot say that enough. Highly recommend reading it. I don't care what form of sex work you are in, what gamut that you play in this industry. If you are in this industry, I highly recommend this book. So I'm going to start by reading a couple little excerpts and then we will get further into this episode. So first of all, the section is shame, stigma, and low self-esteem. It says shame is an umbrella term, but more precise language is helpful. Shame, stigma, and low self-esteem are interrelated but distinct and can get snarled up and feed into each other. Let's break them down in order to get to know them better. Sorry, I just had to move my microphone, so that might have been a weird bump. So shame is deep-seated belief of being bad, dirty, or wrong. Low self-esteem is feeling incapable, incompetent, or not good enough. Stigma is the anxiety or pressure to hide because of judgment from other people. If sex work is making you feel bad about yourself, it helps to know why. We'll tackle shame and stigma first and then talk about low self-esteem. And it's BFF envy. You may not agree, but hopefully you'll get started thinking about why you feel like you do. So that's just her introduction into the next chapter, but I really personally like the way that she breaks down what shame, low self-esteem, and stigma are and how they sort of tangle into one another. So the next sort of part that I want to get into in this book that I really enjoy, or I don't know if I enjoy, but I think is very poignant and important, is this next little section. It wasn't just me, of course. I watched my friends go on crash diets to lose weight. One escort I did doubles with used a breast enlargement pump on her magnificent tiny titties before every session. If the pump made them any bigger, you'd have to squint to see it. To me, they were just as tantalizing before as after. Then there was this one pro dom I never met, but she had the strangest ads. I'd stalk her website in fascination. She'd post clumsily photoshopped photos, pictures showing her with a freakishly wasp waist, which she clearly did not have. I could never figure out whom she might possibly attract with that marketing scheme, but it kept her at it for years. The one thing you could be sure of, though, she didn't trust anyone would come see her if they knew what she really looked like. We see other people's fragility and think, that's so silly. But when it comes to our own vulnerabilities, it can feel as though our flaws are all anyone can see. I have something important to say, and please take it to heart. Low self-esteem has no redeeming value. Hating yourself doesn't make you better at your job or help you lose weight or clear up your skin. It's absolutely 100% wasted energy. When you look in the mirror and hate what you see, you're missing the beauty you bring to this world. Promise me you'll find ways to let these dreadful things go. You only get one life on this beautiful earth. Spending it needlessly hating yourself gains you nothing. Whew. So yeah, take a second if you need. That's a lot just to consider in this industry alone, how as women in this society, take sex work out of it, and we are already bombarded with all of these images of how we should look, of how we should show up, of we need to fit the body type ideal of whatever is popular at the current time in order to be worthy of love for some reason, in order worthy of being desired. It encapsulates so much of our shame and our fear and our low self-esteem. Our self-worth is so wrapped up in our appearance and how we perceive other people see us. It's a lot. It is a lot. There are a lot of emotional demons and self-worth work and self-esteem work to do when you are in this job. And many of us don't have a handle on it before we get into the job. And some of us never get a handle on it while we are in the job. And then we go back out into the world if we ever transition out of the biz. And we still may not have a handle on it. And then the fact that we were in the business in some sort, in some capacity in our lives, we then carry whatever feelings we have about that, whatever feelings we associate with our body, whatever feelings of shame we might still be holding on from society, past relationships, family, about the work that we did, even if they ever knew we did it or not, right? You may not be an out sex worker for a variety of reasons that are completely valid. But even if these people didn't know what you did, you sort of hold on to this shame or these feelings about it, this feeling of needing to keep it quiet because of how you'll be perceived. And that also ties in so deeply into how you value yourself. And I think it's a really, really important thing to examine how not only we see ourselves based on the projections of society on us, but also just because before we are sex workers, we are women, or however you identify, even if you don't identify as women, you are a person in a body. And society tells you how that body should look. And if it doesn't look a certain way, that you are not worthy of love or you do not deserve certain things. And it's a load of shit. It is a big old smelly pile of crap. And then you add those already existing feelings you have about yourself. And then you get into this industry. And some of those you might start to unpack because you finally have this community of people in which you can finally talk to freely and you can commiserate and you have a bond and they understand you. And you start to realize that I am more than my body. And I know that. My body does not determine my worth. But you're still sucked into that mindset in some ways, you're still letting it circle in your brain, right? Because being in this industry requires emotional labor. And sometimes it requires vulnerability, or at least the perception of vulnerability. And what is emotional labor, right? Emotional labor is managing stress, it's managing anxiety, it's managing lust, it's managing loneliness, it's managing rage, it's managing desires and fantasies. It's all of those things for ourselves and all of those things for the clients and the patrons and patrons and fans that we incur over our career, right? So it's managing our own and it's managing theirs. And somehow it's finding that fine line between the two of not letting theirs become ours. And that's some heavy shit. That's some really, really heavy shit. Right? Because this job, it can be intoxicating. It can be intoxicating. I would be lying if I did not say that I think maybe this goes for a lot of us, at least on the stripper side of things, right? There's this adrenaline rush, and like this sort of, the job almost attracts like adrenaline junkies because it is so intoxicating, and because of how intoxicating it is, and there's a rush when it comes to turning people on and to being in loud music and bright lights and all of these things, all of these catalysts of the environment. It can make life outside of it kind of dull and boring. And so that makes it hard to transition out of, for sure. It makes the come down on the days off really hard. Right? The environment is, it's riddled with alcohol. If there was ever a drug that you wanted to find, I bet you could find it in nightlife. Whatever nightlife is to you, or even if you, you know, work day shift, I identify strip clubs as nightlife, whether you're working day shift or night shift. To me, I encompass it as nightlife because it is that like sort of dark, seedy sexual underground that is so entwined with the idea of nightlife. So when it comes down to all of these things, there is this heavy, heavy burden that we have to bear in this industry. And that burden is our own self-worth and how the emotions that we navigate of our own and the emotions that we navigate of others impact our self-worth and our self-esteem and the way that we show up in life and the way that we, as Lola was saying, right, go on crash diets or pump up our tits or get plastic surgery. These things show up because we want to feel sexy. We want to feel attractive. We want to feel like we are going to make money. And what are the things that will bring us money, unfortunately, have become so tied into our appearance and our value of ourself. So, right, it brings to light these feelings, like I said before, of shame, of fear, of anger, low self-esteem and insecurities, right? The aging out, as there's so much ageism in this industry, so much ageism. Of the idea that you can only strip for so long, or you can only perform for so long, and after a while you'll age out. But you know what really ages you in this job? The lifestyle. The party lifestyle is what ages you. If you show up for this job and treat it as a job, not a lifestyle, I guarantee you, you could do it longer without appearing older, if that makes sense. If you start to prioritize the taking care of yourself, the nurturing yourself, the eating properly, well, like full nutrient meals that support your body while also allowing yourself the foods that you love without guilt or diets, the idea of lifting weights and exercising in a way that complements your job and that will bring you overall longevity of life, also do things like maintain your youth. And if you want to be in this job for the long haul, prioritizing your health is a great fucking way to still look like you're 20 when you're 40. It's a lot better than getting sucked into the drugs and the alcohol and the party and the party and the party and the crash and the burn. It's a hell of a lot better than that. So as we get into these sort of demons that come up with this job, and I'm going to kind of go over the ones that come up in this book because I think she does such a great job of really touching the big key moments. So let's start with fear. When it comes to fear, there are a lot of things to fear in this industry. So the question that you have to ask yourself is, what are you afraid of? Are you afraid of aging out? I can tell you right now, that's definitely one of my fears in this job. I am definitely afraid of getting to the point where I want to go work for a few, like maybe I'm not working full time anymore, but I want the opportunity, I suppose it is a privilege in itself as well, to go to a club and work a few nights on a weekend. And I definitely have that fear of trying to go and audition and not getting hired. So for me, that's one of my greatest motivators for taking care of my health, for working out regularly, for eating well, for moving, for meditating, for taking days off, is that I want to, you know, extend my youth, I suppose I could say, as much as possible by taking care of myself. I think that's why a lot of us are obsessed with skincare, right? We want to like stay looking fresh and young. So that fear of aging out is real, because if you age out, have you set yourself up with something to age out into, another career opportunity? And are you afraid of being found out? Is this something that people in your life don't know about that you, for whatever reason it may be and whatever your reason is completely 100,000% valid for keeping your identity and your work in this industry to yourself, for people not knowing? Are you afraid of being found out? And what other feelings come up for you? What is behind that fear of being found out? In what ways are you worried that it will impact your life or your family or your income or your children or whatever it is? Are you afraid of the possibility of violence, of rape, of whatever things, you know, that unfortunately also come along with this job? The sexual harassment, even in the club, the unwanted and unconsensual parts of the job. Does that scare you? Is that what you're afraid of? As soon as you can start to figure out what it is that you are afraid of, what is it that fears that you fear? What is driving some of your decisions? The more you can start to work on those fears, right? You can talk these things out with a therapist, with somebody else in the industry. You can start to recognize how those fears are plaguing you by bringing anxiety into your life. So what about shame? Shame is a big one, right? And until recently, I was still dealing with a lot of shame around this work. And if I'm being completely honest, I think I still have a little bit that I'm working on. I think that most of us in this job, no matter how long we've been in it, at one point or another, shame will pop up for us. So like, what shame are you holding on to about your job? Whether that's shame that you've learned from family and friends and society, or maybe you've internalized those messages. And for some reason, even though you choose this work, there is this like feeling of dirty or unworthy, or you question what you're doing in a sense. There is this deep-seated shame, this like It's hiding somewhere very deep down inside. And we try to tell ourselves that we don't have that because, like, duh, I love my job. I love what I do. I wouldn't do it if I didn't. And yet again, let's note that that is privilege, because there are many people in this industry who aren't choosing it as a line of work so much as choosing it for survival. And that is still valid. There is nothing wrong with that. But then if, and maybe that's you, and that is also fine, but if you're choosing this also as a form of survival, what shame maybe are you holding on to about the fact that this is the line of work that you're in because you have no other options, or because you perceive you have no other options, whether that is reality or not, that is not mine to say. All right, so these are so many things to unpack and that show up. Maybe that shame is you dated someone who, and so, okay, firsthand experience, let's talk about this. I was dating a guy for, I don't know, about 3 years, and I met him as I was quitting my full-time day job to become a full-time stripper. I had been performing burlesque for a few years. I had been working at the club for roughly 6 to 9 months. I was miserable at my day job, and I was like, I think I'm going to quit. I'm going to focus on doing burlesque more. I can work at the club until I figure shit out. And he used to always ask me, like, so how long do you plan on doing this? But like, so what else are you going to do? And then he would want to know, like, well, how many layup dances do I give in a night, and this and that. And ultimately we broke up, and he told me that he thought that if we dated long enough and that I fell in love with him, or that he showed me love, that I wouldn't need to do this job anymore. Because like so many parts of society, he had it wrapped up in his brain that I was in this job because I was seeking something I wasn't getting somewhere else. I was seeking male attention, and if I had that, I wouldn't need it. I was looking for a partner, clearly, and once I found one, I wouldn't need this job anymore. And the ultimate reason why we broke up, why I ended the relationship, was because he gave me an ultimatum. And first of all, I don't do ultimatums. Ultimatums are bullshit. Do not ever force an ultimatum on someone. But he gave me the ultimatum that I needed to not be a club dancer anymore, that I could still do burlesque. Burlesque was fine. He didn't have a problem with burlesque, but I could no longer be a club dancer because he couldn't take it. And yet somehow, him not being able to deal with his emotions and his shame and his fear and his anger and his envy of other people because of what I did for a living meant that I needed to give up my line of work. But yet when I had the rebuttal of, well, so are you going to help me pay my bills? Are you going to do this? Like, that had the, he couldn't see validity in that reasoning. Right. So I was still holding on to some of that shame, and I try really hard not to take that into other relationships, of that idea of that in order for someone to love me outside of this job, I need to not be in this job. And it still stings a little when I think about it. That idea that apparently I can't have both, right? There's shame in there and doesn't feel good. So how is that maybe showing up for you? How have you internalized the shame that society puts on this job into how you show up, right? Because shame, Brené Brown's description of shame, her definition of shame, is the extremely painful belief or experience of being unlovable, unworthy of connection or belonging. The extremely painful belief or experience of being unlovable, unworthy of connection or belonging. shame. How's that showing up for you? How does that shame trigger the way that you treat yourself, the way that you overwork yourself, the way that you don't properly prioritize your health or your energy, or that you overextend yourself into health and fitness pursuits, right? It's ugly. It's dark work, but it's important, and you are valid. And the shame, it's okay to have the shame, because I think a lot of us have the shame. And I have to say that if you don't, I commend you so much. But I also think that if we're being honest, a lot of us, every now and then, there is a tinge of shame. And if you're lucky, you can look at it, you can examine it, you can realize it, that it's not relevant, that it's not real, that it doesn't apply to you, and you can get past it. Otherwise, it will hold you back. So what about envy? How does envy show up? Oh, envy. Envy is a very tricky little emotion, especially in this job, right? It's that whole idea that you're lacking something because you don't have something. Does that make sense? That you're lacking more money, you're lacking more clients, you're lacking success because you don't have a certain body. If you don't have that, then you're not going to make it. So that can show up in the way that we view the other people that we work with, right? We envy the life that they have. We envy the money. We envy the high-paying clients, the guy that always wants to buy the VIP. We envy her body. We envy, right? How is this envy showing up? Because envy shines a spotlight on where you're the most vulnerable. It shines a spotlight on how your imperfections are holding you back, or your perception of your imperfections are holding you back. That, well, no one wants to buy VIP with me because I don't look like her, and I can't do that laugh, or I'm not as magnetic, and I don't have that energy, or I don't have that big fancy life because, and fill in the blank. So envy is another big one, and envy can be the one that makes us, envy can be the one that really, that drives our pursuits for body change, right? Envy is the one that drives us into going on a diet again, of our quest to lose 5 pounds, to get the injections, to get the fillers, to get the BBL, to get the boob job. I got a boob job. I love my boobs. I would do it again in a heartbeat. But I can also tell you with 100% certainty and honesty, 100% honesty, that I did not get them thinking that it would change how I felt about myself or make me more money or bring me success or love. I got them because I spent a lot of my time in a heavier body. And then I got into fitness and I started working out, and I started working out as a trainer, and my body changed a lot. And with that change came losing the size of breast I had known for years. And that I suppose changed how I felt about myself, but not that I felt less about myself, but that I missed that attribute that made me feel so womanly. So I decided to get them, and I do not regret it. I missed the $8,000. I wish I could have the $8,000 back, because I would put it in my IRA and I would maybe not be living with my parents in 2020, thanks to COVID. But, you know, you live, you learn, and you get the boobs, or you don't get the boobs. That's your choice. But how is that envy of other people and that idea that if, oh, I was only younger, if I had this different body, how is that driving you in this job? How is it affecting your income or your ability to show up? I want to keep going and I want to like keep diving in on this, but honestly, there's so much that we could do here and I don't want to completely overwhelm you with one podcast episode. So I'm going to pull back because this has been a relatively heavy episode. And I think there are a lot of things that you could go back and re-listen to and think on. But just in general, those emotions, that idea of shame and fear and anger and self-esteem and envy, and how does the reality of this work, of being on display, like having your body on display, of as being a sexual creature, of providing emotions and experiences for other people, how does that play into your own feelings on yourself? And once again, the book that I mentioned earlier and that I read a couple sections out of is Thriving in Sex Work by Lola Divina, and I highly recommend it. And this, again, this idea of dealing with your demons and how they are propelling your choices as far as health and fitness and your idea of your body is something that we dive into inside of Hustle, Grind, and Align, the course that I have coming out in March. And it's not just a course. What it is it's a workout program. So it's workout programming designed around the lifestyle and the impacts of dancing. And with it, we also dive deep into the other things that come up because of dancing, like the emotional impacts and how those affect and drive our pursuits in health and fitness. Because I think it's a very under-talked about thing, and I think, unfortunately, it's very, 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 very important. So if you want to dive deeper into that work, and if you want to be a part of this program as it comes out in March, you can get on the wait list. The best place to go is to go to my link in my bio on Instagram at Fit Showgirl, or just to the link tree Fit Showgirl. And there is a waitlist sign up for Hustle, Grind, and Align. And I want you, after this episode, because it was kind of a heavy episode, to take some time for yourself, go for a walk, lay down, shut your eyes if you have an opportunity to. If you are out and about, maybe put on a song that lifts your spirits and circle back and revisit this later on when you have the time and the capacity to do so. Thank you once again for joining me on this episode of the Health Smut Podcast. You can find me on Instagram at Fit Showgirl. You can get on the wait list for Hustle, Grind, and Align. If you've been following along with this podcast and it's been helpful, screenshot it, share it on Instagram, tag me. If you're getting a lot out of it, leave a review and a rating on iTunes. The more of those I get, the more people will be able to find this and get use out of it. Thank you so much, and I will talk to you next week, my sexy friends.